This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dealer.
KFM West Sacramento. KRXQ HD2 Sacramento. ESPN 1320. Sacramento sports leader. Always live on the Odyssey app. Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen, Joe Brazil behind the glass. We are sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Oops. Joe, I'll fix the thing that I missed. That's my bad. That's James, Kyle, you did all that. ESPN 1320 AM. On your radio dial, youtube.com/ESPN1320, twitch.tv/ESPN1320. We're just talking about the NBA MVP stuff at the break. I maintain that the only wrong answer is that there's a definite right answer between Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Nikola Jokic.
Yeah.
Whichever one. I hear the arguments for both. I know that's bad radio. I know that I'm supposed to stand on the table and vehemently have an opinion one way or the other. My opinion is that Shai should win it because his team won 18 more games, and I think that has to matter at least a small amount. Mm-hmm. But if Jokic wins it, I'm not going to come in here and be like, wow, what an injustice. He was unbelievable.
Yeah, he was. I do think that there's always going to be voter fatigue, mm-hmm. and there's also this saying that they don't like to give away a fourth MVP to anybody. Mm-hmm. Like, you've got to be super special. And I also don't think that, for whatever reason, that Nikola Jokic is still considered how great he is. Mm-hmm. Like, people just overlook how great he is. Mm-hmm. When you think of the top players in the NBA, he wins the MVP, but you don't always name him in the top five players in the league. Mm-hmm. And I just think that's, you know, when it's all said and done, he's probably going to be a top 10 player ever.
I agree.
And I just don't think he gets that respect. And like, I'm here for him to rack up another MVP, but I also get it because I've always been someone who believes in the best player on the best team.
Yeah, they won 68 games. That's so many games in the West.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, you got to remember last year what the Celtics finished a full, like, 12 games above anyone else in the Eastern Conference, and Jason Tatum was what, third, fourth, fifth in MVP balloting. Mm-hmm. And he's not Tatum wasn't the league's leading scorer, mm-hmm. but still he was the best player in the best team. So the argument could be made that the best player in the best team doesn't win. It's got to be the best player on a really, really good team, but the best statistical player.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I think Jokic is right there. It's like so incredibly difficult to.
I'm so happy I don't have a. I would probably vote for Giannis just to avoid having to make a decision between SGA and Jokic.
I mean, even
I'm
this
serious. Year, like I don't know, man.
This year, it's kind of, they said the same thing about Sabonis. Oh, you don't shoot enough threes. You're not a good enough three-point shooter. Mm-hmm. So Jokic shoots 41.7% on 4.7 attempts per game.
Good God.
Almost five attempts per game. Like, how are you supposed to stop him?
Do you buy into any of the on-off stuff where the Nuggets are the worst team in the league from a net rating perspective when Jokic is off the floor?
Yeah, I do. Because... Yeah.
I think that's the key argument to me if you're talking value.
I think it's tough, though, because on-off, if you want to say, okay, you know, when he goes off the court, it's like, well, okay, first of all, then go get a center that plays like him.
Sure.
To keep running continuity. I mean, what you can't do is, like, DeAndre Jordan just isn't a good center anymore at all. Like, he's not a good NBA player. He's just, like, past so far past his prime. And so when I look at, you know, the on-off splits, it's like, is it because Jokic is so great, or is it because his replacement is so bad, or is it because a combination of the two? And then, hey, let's add in this element that the guy that you're replacing him with is, like, a true rim runner. He's not a, like, a centerpiece like, like Domas. And that's where, you know, again, I think we could look at what Domas's, you know, on-off splits look like in the first half of the season versus the second half of the final 25-30 games. And it might be like, oh, well, he wasn't nearly as valuable in the second half of the season. It's like either that or Jonas Valanciunas is just way better than what you had before. And so it balances out. So I do think that, like, even the on-off stuff, it's really difficult because of the depth of the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah.
They had all this depth, and then all of a sudden, like, piece by piece, they've lost. And it just makes it really difficult to, like, judge a second unit on a team.
James Ham's there. I'm Kyle Madsen. Jiffy Lube sponsors the show. So I get this. I'm going to try and leave names out of this. It won't be hard to deduce if you follow my work at NinersWire.com.
Okay.
But I get a call. I get a, sorry, an Instagram message from somebody who said, hey.
Slid into your DMs.
Slid into my DMs and said, hey. And I don't say this because I'm special. I say this because it's the first time I've had this happen. I understand agents are talking to everyone all the time. So, says, hey, I'm not really on social media, but I read what you wrote and I want to present, you know, I want you to write about my client. Write about this guy.
Okay.
Call me. I don't really do social media. So shoot me a text, give me a call. So I give this guy a call. Because, I don't know, see what he's talking about. And our conversation ended up being, he goes, I need 3 minutes of your time. And I was like, cool, man. I'm driving home. I got an hour and a half. We had a 25-minute long conversation, and I think I said probably 10 words.
Oh.
And my man was like, I'm not blowing smoke up your ass. This guy has... And just started blowing smoke up my ass for 20 minutes.
Oh.
It was, he's like, and you don't even have to believe me. You can talk to this guy who was an ex-coach, or this guy who was an ex-coach. You can talk to this guy who coached him at this thing, or this guy who coached him at this thing. It just, he's the best. And I just gave me, right after telling me he wasn't going to do the whole agent spiel rundown thing.
Yep.
Gives me the whole agent spiel rundown thing.
That's tough.
And I understand now how it happens that during draft season, we get the, hey, Team X is interested in player Y. Team X, big time interest in player Y. Met with him this many times at this many college all-star bowl things.
Yep.
Oh, man, they love him. They really love him. Oh, man, the Packers love this kid. One of their scouts told me he has upside to be the best player in this class at his position. I'm sorry. I follow the draft very closely, and I have never heard of this person. And he has the upside to be the... What are we talking about here?
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing? Look, I'm not trying to do... Look, I get that I'm the guy's agent, but I'm not here to lie to you, man. All right, talk. I make a couple other phone calls, and you go, okay, so you wrote about the guy, but I did not...
No, I'd sugarcoat
do my own. I do my own assessment of... Yeah. What I think he's good and bad at.
That's intriguing. I remember there was a prospect who came through, and another reporter got called like this from an agent. And not only did he convince him that like he was going to be a star, but also that he could play, even though he was a center, could play the four or even the three, and that you could use him as a three. And
Was this Marvin Bagley?
No.
Oh.
No. No, no. Marvin Bagley's people would never have to, because he's too high, you know. But yeah, it was like, hey, I'm like, have you watched any of his tape? Like, there's no way he's a three. In the same way that there was no way Jason Thompson was ever a three when the Kings tried that.
Yeah.
It was like that bad, maybe a little bit worse, because I don't even think the dude could play the four.
Oof.
And you just kept like, hey, you keep spouting these things that an agent told you, and like, you might want to have an original thought there yourself, because that player is not matching what you're saying at all. Like,
that's tough.
I think we all have our own view of our own way of deciphering the draft.
Yeah, you know? No doubt. I talked to a person who's covered the 49ers for a long time, and they said the most difficult part of draft season is not like trying to be right or trying to correctly predict. Like that's, you know, kind of a fun thing to do. But he said the hardest part is, because when you're a prominent writer who covers a team, like I'm just some dude, I'm just a blogger, right? But when you've covered the team for a long time, like some of these guys on the beat have, they were saying that some of the most difficult part is figuring out when an agent calls you and tells you, hey, A, B, C, and X, Y, and Z, what is real, what's not. So now you're making other calls, and you know some guys are just lying all the time, so you don't take anything they say into account. But then there's other times where now you got to reach out to the team and now you're checking with. And just the entire process is sussing out who's lying to you and who's not. And what information are we going to run with publicly and what are we not?
No, totally.
That sounds awful.
Yeah.
Because I want to believe everybody. I want to see the best in everyone. When that agent calls me and he goes, hey, I'm going to tell you about this kid who's going to be the best player in his position in his class. It's going to be awesome. Here, let me tell you all about him. My instinct as a person is to go, wow, what a nice guy to call me and let me know about this guy. Like, wow, that's so kind. But I know now.
Yeah, man. Like, doing this for as long as you have, I try to avoid agents. Like, I talk to a handful of agents.
For sure, of course.
But it's more like we have, like, information exchange.
Yes.
And right. Like I've said this before, like you don't have like the idea of sources are they're just relationships that you have, you know, whether it's like with a team or with an agent or with a coach or with a player, like whatever it is. Like I think that's how you develop sources, is just by having like honest conversations, sure, back and forth conversations. But I don't know that pitching somebody like that, you know,
it was wild.
That's tough.
It was wild. Just telling me, hey, this thing that you're worried I'm going to do, I'm not going to do it. And then it doesn't.
Yeah.
Like, all right, man. Anyways. Got to talk to some good people, though. Reaching out, trying to suss out what was real and what was not. And like I said, I did my own research.
You always have to. Yeah.
Anyways. We'll talk Kings. Coming up here in a bit. We got more NBA playoffs, but it's really clear in the postseason how much work the Kings have to do. And we'll talk about that next. But right now, we got to give stuff away. Or excuse me. We're going to give you a keyword so you can enter it at ESPN1320.com. So you can enter to win $500. This is the Jump Shot Jackpot giveaway, courtesy of Folsom Lake Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, home of the big guy, Vince Bloom. Here is your first keyword. We're giving you a keyword. You can enter this at ESPN1320.com. That's one entry. D'Lo and KC will give you a keyword later that you can enter to try and enter to win again. So you can two opportunities to enter to win today's $500. The keyword is, I was going to drumroll, but I'm not. Shot. Shot. S-H-O-T. Shot.
Shot. Shot. Shot. Mm-hmm.
Enter that at ESPN1320.com and you'll be entered to win $500 courtesy of Folsom Lake Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, home of the big guy, Vince Bloom. Shot.
All right.
S-H-O-T. And then D'Lo and Casey will have another word. You can enter again. Two chances to win $500 today. We'll have another keyword for you tomorrow, all the way through this week, all the way through next week. Again, $500 a day. The Jump Shot Jackpot giveaway, courtesy of Folsom Lake Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, home of the big guy, Vince Bloom. I think I covered all that. I get all that?
Yeah.
Cover everything?
You did good.
All right. Very good. Hopefully everybody else does good. We would love to see some winners come from our program. All right. We'll talk Kings next. The NBA playoffs are telling us exactly how far the Kings have to go. How do they do that? We'll have that conversation all summer, but we'll start it next. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil's rocking with us. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube, here on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Center.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento sports leader.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Yeah, the NBA playoffs have started.
Yeah.
And I'm still ice cold with my underdog picks. Holy smokes. Thankfully, they've got their extender promo going on, so you get a 40% profit boost for game one. Hopefully you use that, because then you get a 50% profit boost token for game two. So I'll be using that and hopefully putting together a winning lineup, because I'm going to be making lineups all, like, as long as there's basketball on, your boy's going to have a lineup out.
Okay.
And Underdog doesn't just have NBA. They've got baseball. They've got all your favorite leagues, all your favorite players, hockey. They got esports. There's so many things to choose from with their pick'em game, and it's a ton of fun. And I hope you join me. I don't have my lineup locked in just yet, because when I'm ice cold, I actually have to go do some research and stuff, and I have not done that yet, but I will have a lineup. If you want to know where I wind up, you can just hit me up on Twitter or Blue Sky or whatever, and I will happily let you know what my lineup looks like. But go in there, mess around, and build your own. Download the Underdog app and sign up with promo code KYLEM to unlock a special offer of up to $1,000 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit. That's promo code KYLEM, K-Y-L-E-M, KYLEM. Must be 18 plus and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/extend.html for details. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncbgambling.org. Details? Why did I say that like that? I have never said details in my life. That was very odd.
Not
I don't
details?
Like that. Yeah, details. See, details. Details?
Still right, though.
It's not, like, it's not wrong.
He's just
wrong.
Churching it up.
Just... for details. The hell are you? Anyways, you talk about Davion Mitchell at the break. Holy smokes. Davion Mitchell's hooping, bro.
Yeah, this is one of those things where, you know, we get into this funny thing, especially D'Lo and Casey, where they just like, oh, James hates that player, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I constantly try to tell people, it's not that I don't like the player.
Mm-hmm.
It's that I do not like the fit of the player where he's at.
Yep.
Now, Davion Mitchell on the 2025 Kings, I might actually like, because all of a sudden they're an ISO team. And Davion Mitchell, like, probably would fit in this crazy,
yep,
gummed up mess of an offense that the Sacramento Kings had this year. But there was always going to be a pathway. I kept saying Davion Mitchell is an NBA player. Davion Mitchell is an,
yes,
elite defensive player. And not only that, but in the right situation, he could be a starting point guard. I thought it might be Toronto, but that went whatever which way it, mm-hmm, went. But to see him step up and to get this sort of notoriety and play in Miami, I'm super excited for him. Again, he's a hard worker, and the thing is that you're hoping that he finds success, whether it's in Sacramento or it's elsewhere. Because, you know, these guys, they work, this is their livelihood, and they work their butts off to try to be great. And I always thought that Davion had that in him to be a very, very good NBA player. I just knew it wasn't going to be in Sacramento, because his style of play and the Kings style of play, just totally different.
Yeah, and like you said, it would have worked better this year.
Yeah.
They would have loved to have Davion Mitchell this year. But I also think there's something to, I mean, fit and then player development and team culture and all that, like all of that. Davion Mitchell is just, he's just a Miami Heat player.
He's empowered.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So he goes in their playoff game. Well, of course, he hit a bunch of threes to close out the Hawks in overtime of the play-in game to punch Miami's ticket to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And then they lost by 21 in a game where Cleveland pulled away late. But he goes 8 of 12 from the field, 2 of 3 from beyond the arc, 4 rebounds, 9 assists. He scored 18 points. Man.
Yeah.
It's so funny. There's no. I'm trying to find his stats from the play-in game, but it just doesn't exist on Basketball Reference.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, so too. Like, I'm going to pull up something from the chat. Cap says, Mike Brown's corner, Davion, and pretty much anyone. First of all, like, everyone in Sacramento, everyone kept asking for length and athleticism. Mm-hmm. And you went out and you got Davion Mitchell, who doesn't have length or athleticism. Mm-hmm. Like, can he play ball? Yeah,
not,
he can play ball.
Vertically, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He's not, like, a leaper. Might be able to dunk in a perfect situation. Like, he's a linebacker playing mm-hmm. in the NBA, yep. right? So, like, I don't think Mike Brown did anything wrong with Davion Mitchell. The fact is, the Kings run a specific style of offense when Davion was here. And it's this motion. It's this, you remember the half-second rule. Mm-hmm. You have a half-second to make a decision whether you're going to shoot or whether you're going to move it.
Right.
Right? That's not Davion Mitchell. Mm-hmm. That's just not who he is as a player, and it's never going to be who he is as a player. Nope. The Miami Heat play a different style of basketball, and it works for his style. And mm-hmm. so, like, I think Keegan Murray is built for Mike Brown's style or Jay Triano's offensive set. Again, Domantas Sabonis, it, like, you're building a team around that, but the problem is that Davion just doesn't fit with those pieces. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I'm happy the guy found a perfect niche for him because that's what it seems like.
I hate the hindsight of, there are times, Luka Doncic, trading Luka is a bad move. That is not a good move.
Nope.
Nobody sane is going to argue otherwise, right? But I'm not, the Davion Mitchell thing doesn't jump out to me because it's like, wow, what a mistake by the Kings letting this guy walk. Like, look at what he's averaging now, and he's developing and this and that. To me, that's not the discussion. The move they made to just kind of get rid of him was weird.
Yeah, with Sasha. That's, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that move in itself ends up being, like, one of the worst moves at this franchise. Just, like, if you pull back and you look, you're like, okay, why did you waste three second-round picks right here? Mm-hmm. Like, that. Why did you do that? Yeah. Like, what was the logic behind each of those moves?
Yeah.
Why did you give up two? Because Davion for McDaniel would have worked straight up.
Jaden McDaniels?
Yeah, Jaden McDaniel. Yeah, I believe. Yeah.
Jalen?
That would... no.
The McDaniels who's not on the Timberwolves.
Yes. It's Jaden.
Jaden. Okay, for Jaden.
No. For Jalen.
Oh, boy.
My bad. My bad. It's Jalen. Yeah. So, like, look, that move in itself, if that's what you wanted to do, just to move off so you didn't have an extra year of Davion, that would have been one thing. But the adding Sasha in there, having him opt out, and then giving up 2 second-round picks, the problem that they have is when you compounded that by then taking Jalen McDaniels and trading him to the Spurs and adding another second-round pick in that.
To salary dump him,
which, again, you could have just stretched provision. You could have waived him, and then stretch provision is $4 million salary over a three-year period. He would have been a league minimum salary every year on your cap. When the salary cap goes up $18 million or $17 million this year, it would have looked like nothing.
It's insane.
But instead, you gave up a second-round pick, which has a bunch of value. So,
wild.
Anyway.
So that's the issue. Like, that to me, I don't watch Davion Mitchell playing well and go, wow, what a nightmare. The Kings just messed up big time.
Yep.
I mean, I know it turns out they could have used him this year, especially after Malik Monk went down.
Yeah.
And they didn't really have a point guard. So you would have liked to have him for sure. But I don't know. I just, of all the things the front office did, mm-hmm. that the mechanics of the move were terrible.
Yes.
But I don't think they would have gotten this version of Davion Mitchell necessarily in Sacramento.
Well, I don't think Davion, there, one way or another, Davion Mitchell wasn't going to be part of the Sacramento Kings this season. Like, so,
what do you mean?
Like, they were going to trade him one way or another.
I see.
Yeah.
They were just kind of done with the experiment.
Yeah. They just understood that, like, it's a square peg in a round hole. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. Like, I think that finding, like, realizing that, like, I think the worst thing for NBA players is this. It's when you get into the league and you think you're going to be the next Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant, and then you fight and fight and fight to still be that, like, 4 or 5 years in. Because then if you do that, you're out of the league.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're done.
Yep.
So that's where, like, accepting a role is, like, the biggest thing for a young player.
Yep.
If you can, and you can get better in that role, and you can start to show that you can do more, and talk about, like, Jalen McDaniels, we talked about it earlier before we were on the air. Man, Jalen McDaniels is awesome, and I think he's got way more. I think he's more Mikal Bridges than he is, you know, like a lot of these other players that you think are going to develop. He just doesn't get an opportunity to shoot the ball enough to be great. And I think there's an opportunity, just as in the same way that Mikal Bridges early in his career, he looked good, but he didn't look great.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he averages 24 and a half or something one season. You're like, oh, I didn't know you had that in you.
Yeah.
I think Jalen McDaniels is the same thing. But I think the other, to flip this around, the biggest thing for a front office is to admit when you made a mistake.
Yeah.
And move off of that mistake as quickly as possible. And mm-hmm. if there's one thing I will give the Kings, like when Thomas Robinson was a mistake, the Kings were like, oh my gosh, this is a mistake, and got rid of him, like, I think at the trade deadline, either the trade deadline or like early in the summer. And we're talking the 5th overall pick, right? Mm-hmm. When Nick Stauskas wasn't good, the Kings that offseason were like, oh no, we're done with this, and they moved on from him. So I think the Kings have at least done that. They've looked at players and said, okay, well, this isn't it, mm-hmm. and they move away from him. Which is a good thing, because I think a lot of teams, like, they just get so pot committed on a player that never develops.
Sure.
And they keep paying them because they're worried that they're going to miss out on something.
Yep.
And the Kings have shown that that's not who they are.
Yep. Yeah. No doubt. That's James Hamm. Joe Brazil's behind the glass. I'm Kyle Madsen, and we're the Insiders. We are sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Hanging out with you for another half hour. Then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC. Tom Haberstroh on his Substack, on his newsletter.
Yeah.
Had a really, really interesting stat that I loved. And I think it's part of the reason that despite the blowouts, I really enjoyed the game ones. And he tracked the free throw attempts per game. Last season in the playoffs, it was 22 free throw attempts per game, which was down. It's a low number. This season, the game ones featured 18.5 free throw attempts per game on average. Total. It is such a better product when that happens. So much better.
I agree.
Like, the games flow more. There's more action. And yeah, is it really, really physical to the point that you have a Warriors-Rockets, 95-85 was the final. Those dudes were just beating the hell out of each other for 48 minutes. And I think they shot a combined, 25 free throws, was it? I'm going to go look.
Yeah.
It's just a better game. It's a better sport.
I absolutely loved how the officiating changed after the All-Star break last season. I was hoping that they were going to allow that, either do it again, like after the All-Star break.
All right, 34 free throw attempts in Warriors Rockets. Go ahead.
Okay. Or just like let this be what basketball is like. I hate the touch foul.
It's the worst thing, dude. It's the very, very worst thing. Especially when, because everybody gets officiated differently, right?
Yep.
Like, it is, I get that it's a tough sport to officiate. And that's why I try really hard to not harp on the officials. But it's like when we watch, just to keep it local here in Sacramento, when we watch Domantas Sabonis get whacked in the head going up for a layup, he misses the layup, there's no call. And then the opposing team's point guard drives past Keon, and Keon gets his wrist on the way by and is like, oh, whistle.
Yeah.
Like that's just not fun. That's killing the sport. That's killing the vibe right now. Like, let there be some flow to the game.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I was watching a lot of the Knicks game, and watching Jalen Brunson just like barrel into defenders and drop his shoulder right into their chest and then bounce off and then yell at the officials and look at the official dirty every time. It's like, hey, man, first of all, he didn't reach and you're allowed to defend. You're allowed to have space. And the way that he goes about his business, like, I'm glad they're not calling fouls on that. Mm-hmm. I don't want to watch with Kobe White, like, fling his hair all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, like, every single time you touch him, he throws his hair, and you're like, man, that's not a foul. Just because you're, like, did he really make your head move? Like, what are we doing here? Like, I hate the Trae Young step in front and stop.
Yep.
The stop short move.
I blame James Harden for the head throwback thing.
Yeah.
He's the worst at that. Where he'll be like in a triple threat position and the defender will like reach across to kind of poke at the ball. He just snaps his head back and gets a foul. It's like, it's nowhere near his face.
Yeah.
What are you doing? I want to get the Saberstroh stat right because I misread it. It's free throw attempts per 100 possessions.
Oh, okay.
18.5 per team. That is down from 22 last year. It got as high as, what year was this? 94-95, 32.7 free throws per 100 possessions in the playoffs.
Oh, no.
That is so many free throws.
That's like the Shaq era.
Yes.
Like everyone has to foul Shaq. You had to have three centers, all of which, you know, are locked and loaded with their six fouls.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what the Kings did.
You had to.
Yeah. It was like Divots, you throw a little Weber at him, then you hit him with Scott Pollard. Then it's like, hey, Lawrence Funderburk. And Lawrence's like, I don't want any of that.
Yeah, you got to
like,
go eat some fouls.
Get out there, Lawrence, now.
You got fouls to give, Lawrence.
I'm just a guy who scores around the rim. Like, no, you get out there and get beat up by Shaq. Yeah.
It was just a better product, man. Like, people can complain about three-point shots all they want. Three-pointers are not the problem. I promise you that three-point shots are not the problem. The problem is guys like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, James Harden, Trae Young, Jimmy Butler, their game is derived around, hey, what can I do to draw contact and get to the free throw line?
Mm-hmm.
I think there are some guys, I know Shai kind of foul griffs, but there are just players who, and I think Shai is kind of one of these guys where it's a little grifty sometimes, but then he's just really good at kind of contorting his body and getting the angles and putting defenders in tough spots where they're just going to foul him.
Hmm.
I think it's so much better when the refs give the defender the benefit of the doubt. Like let the defender get away with something, because if you don't, you're going to have a parade to the free throw line. Every game is going to be in the 130s. The games are going to grind to a halt. They're going to take forever. The Warriors-Rockets game was a rock fight last night.
Yeah.
It was a 95-85 final. 180 total points got scored in an NBA game in 2025. But there was flow. It didn't have great pace, but it wasn't, oh, all right, here we go, another trip to the line. Okay, another foul, another trip to the line on the other end. It was an enjoyable product, and I think that was the case for all the games. So I hope the NBA continues officiating things this way, because it is a much, much better watch.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like, I just want to see good basketball. And,
that's it, man.
You know, it makes you wonder, too, will the fact that Shai averages like 8.8 free throw attempts per game versus Jokic at 2.4, whether the foul grifting will be part of the conversation. Because it's like, yeah, you average 32.7 points per game, but, you know, is that really all that different than the 29.6 that Jokic added when we consider the fouls and all that stuff?
Yeah.
I don't know. Stuff.
Do you know who sneaky shoots a ton of free throws? And I get why. Is Giannis.
Well, yeah.
Free throw attempt rate, which is free throw attempts per field goal attempt.
Mm-hmm.
Mason Plumlee is number one. At 63.4, which makes sense. Number two is Steven Adams, which again makes sense because he's just not shooting a lot of field goals.
Yep.
But he's probably going to get fouled quite a bit. Fourth is Rudy Gobert. Fifth is Adem Bona.
Oh.
Giannis is third at 53.6. Giannis shoots so many shots.
He's led the league in free throw attempts the last three seasons. And the reason why he gets fouled so much, realistically, besides the fact that he is a Greek freak, is that he only shoots 61.7%.
Yep. He has averaged since the 2018-19 season, 10.6 free throw attempts per game.
Mm.
That's insane. That's so many.
Yeah, it's a lot.
But like you said, he's only going to make six of them.
Yeah.
So you take it, try and slow him down a little
10.6 bit. 10.6 a season attempts, 6.5 makes. Oof.
Oof. And he's shooting 28% from three?
Oy. Yeah, if he shot 70%, he would have been really close to league leader in, or let's say he shot 80%.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he would have been, like, really close to Shea in points per game.
Despite the fact that he can't shoot, he's averaged 31.1, 30.4, and 30.4 the last 3 years. Yeah,
he's so amazing.
What a ridiculous player. All right. Anyways, that's James. I'm Kyle. Joe Brazil is behind the glass. We got the handoff with one of D'Lo or KC. They'll be in here next talking hoops right here on ESPN 1320. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It's Sacramento Sports Theater.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
Barry.
Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
James Hamm's over there. I'm Kyle Madsen. I can't imagine. I'm trying to figure out if I'm looking at all these game ones. Milwaukee lost by 19 points to the Pacers, but that's a series, right? We're going to get six or seven games out of that series.
I think. I don't know. It feels like for whatever reason, the Pacers have had the Bucks number forever.
Yeah. The Pacers are deeper for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that they just beat you with a very interesting style.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm just not impressed by Milwaukee, man. Yeah. Giannis is awesome. And Bobby Portis is fun and a nice player. I don't know, man. I think we're getting a series there though. I just don't trust the Pacers to just wipe the floor with a team through five games.
Well, I just like, what do you do if you're the Bucks if you lose a series?
Dude.
Because this is like, that would be 3 years in a row getting busted up in the first round.
Yes. At least this time it wasn't an eight seed, but yeah. It'd be 3 years in a row. And this time you had a healthy Giannis.
This could be the moment where Giannis asks out. It could, like, very well. Like, if you lose again, like, it super tough.
Yeah. Clippers Denver is going to be awesome. I think Detroit Knicks is still going to be a series. But the thing that I underrated with Detroit, because they're my Pistons, everybody knows this.
Yep.
The thing I underrated with Detroit was the youth aspect.
That's it, man.
You saw it. You saw it. That got into the fourth quarter, and the Knicks go on a 21-0 run. And the Pistons just had that know-how of how to get to the line, how to not get too high, not get too low. It just spiraled on them. And that was the thing I underrated a little, a lot going into that series.
Well, it's the same exact thing with the Rockets and the Warriors. And the Warriors, I mean, the Rockets even have more, they have more veteran influence than the Pistons as far as like players who are on the court, players who are actually playing like big time meaningful minutes.
Yeah.
But you see the youth factor. I mean, that's why we talk about how there's stages. You get into the playoffs as like a 7 or 8 seed. You get crushed the first year. Mm-hmm. The second year, you might make it the second round, and you're really playing for the third, fourth year of your cycle. And like, I think we're seeing it play out right now exactly how it typically does.
It's time now for the handoff. Taking the handoff from James and Kyle today, here's Jesse Tapia.
Hey, here he is.
What's up, guys?
Jesse Tapia, how you doing, man?
Doing good. How's everyone
doing? I like
weekend?
That one.
Doing great. Yeah, it was a good one. So, we're talking game ones.
I enjoyed them.
Yeah, I bet you did.
Yeah, it's a good time.
The Celtics, I feel like, because if you don't know, Jesse's a Celtics guy. I feel like the Celtics had the perfect game one for what that series is, where it was at least close enough where you're interested and you're into the game, and then by the time there was 5 minutes left, you're like, all right, game's over.
Yeah, I've learned
about... But you got a good 38 minutes of good hoop there.
Yeah, Paolo Banchero was really good, so was Franz Wagner.
Man.
Maybe get those guys some help next year.
Okay, so...
Maybe they can stay healthy next year.
Me watching that game, like, because I've covered the Kings and I've heard it, like, man, DeMarcus Cousins doesn't get back, oh, he pouts. Mm-hmm. And then who is the other player that they complain same thing with the Kings, where it's like, oh, you can see he doesn't try hard the whole time. I like Franz Wagner as a player, but my goodness.
He disappeared in that second half a little
He
bit.
Was atrocious.
Yeah.
Every time he made him, they had the two-on-one break where he held onto the ball way too long, didn't hit the guy on the left, and then tried to do a drop pass. It got picked off. Then he stood there while they went back on the other end and dunked on him, and it was like 4-point swing. He turns the ball over again, I believe.
He just had the one where he just lost the handle at midcourt.
Buried the three?
Yep.
Game over.
That was ball game.
It was, that three. It was like, oh, that's a ball game right there. Up, boom, over.
Yeah, he was playing good at the start, but I don't know, he just kind of fell off after that.
Yep.
Paolo, couldn't stop Paolo at all. But
Paolo's incredible, man.
Yeah.
I think he's just, we did that draft of guys who are 25 and younger, and I think Paolo is my first pick.
He's next.
Like, he's incredible, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I'm with you. They need him and Franz to stay healthy, and Mo Wagner to stay healthy. I think he tore his ACL.
Jalen Suggs.
Jalen Suggs being out's a big deal. Mm-hmm. But they just don't. I don't know that you're trusting Cole Anthony to be your offensive spark on a night in, night out basis. They feel like they're one dude away from being legit.
Yeah,
maybe two.
I feel like Orlando's always this way, though. They always have a collection of players.
They've been for like the last 10 years, it feels like.
They're like the Steelers?
A little bit worse, I guess.
A little bit worse, but go ahead, sorry.
But if you go back, I mean, remember like the Aaron Gordon, you know, who else was on that team? They had Vucevic. They had...
Victor Oladipo was supposed to be a guy, I think.
Evan Fournier.
Terrence Ross on that team?
Yeah, they always had like, you're like, oh, I like their players. And if you're like, oh, I would like to go trade with that team, they have players that I would like to trade for. But then they never win. And you're always like, oh, I don't know what to say.
Yeah. Might be the path the Blazers are on right now. Where they just have a lot of nice pieces that just never quite coalesces.
Not the Eastern Conference Kings, because they've been in the playoffs the last couple of years, but they're kind of, you're still kind of waiting for them to make that next move, huh?
Who, the Magic? The Magic?
Yeah.
Like the one.
It's like, you got to finish the job now.
Right. They might have to trade Jalen Suggs. This is what we talked about the Kings a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. It's like, man, if they're going to take that leap, they might have to get rid of a player we really like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They might, if they're going to take that leap to title contender, again, we're not talking playoffs. We're going, hey, you're going to be a title. You might have to trade Keegan. Like, ooh, you might have to. It might have to be that kind of move. They might have to trade Jalen Suggs.
Maybe,
they might have to trade Franz Wagner if they decide that this is how he's going to be in the postseason. They're like, oh, don't know. So we're going to try and maximize his value.
Yeah, because like I see the vision with that team, but it's like, there's something that you guys just can't get over yet.
I agree. I'm right there with you. Anything else jump out to you from the game once? I wanted to, real quick, I'm sorry. What were you going to say?
I was going to say Warriors and Rockets.
Okay.
A little bit.
Good transition, because that's where I wanted to go.
Okay, perfect.
You brought up the youth thing with the Rockets, and I'm so interested to see, because where it showed itself last night, Fred VanVleet, not a youth guy. He beat the Warriors in the finals 6 years ago. But he went 2 of 13 from 3.
It was not good at all.
I don't expect that to happen again.
Nope.
But then you go look at the Rockets, and it's like, man, it's not like they have another guy who can light it up from 3. The difference that I'm interested to see over the next 5-6 games, however many this series goes, the youth came into me watching Jalen Green and Amen Thompson go to the rack. They were going to the basket it was like they had no plan, and they just went, I'm going to athlete my way to the cup, and I'm just going to score. And then they would get under the basket with no plan. The Warriors are collapsing on them because they play good defense, and now they're throwing bad shots at the rim.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see if now that they've played a full game, if that slows down for them and you start seeing some of those Amen Thompson shots go down and you start seeing some of the Jalen Green shots go down. That's where I think there could be a difference here. But man, at the end of that game, they cut it to 3, and then it was like Golden State went, okay, hey, we're going to lock in and be veterans.
Yeah, because you hear all the narratives about them like going into the playoffs, like young team, this, and that. It's like, all right, well, I wasn't really buying into it too much. I was like, okay, maybe it was a little bit more true than you thought watching game one.
I just don't know where they're going to get offense. Outside of, hey, maybe Jalen Green and Amen Thompson slow down a little bit.
Yeah.
But man, that's
where you need it. It's going to be one of those guys.
When Jalen Green catches fire, though, he's like one of the best, awesome. The biggest streak shooters in the league.
Yeah.
Like he can really, really light you up.
Yeah.
He just hasn't found that consistency, I think, yet to like just be that established star. Because when they won, I think it was like 10 in a row last season, he was lining them up like 30 a game, it felt like.
Yeah, he was awesome down the stretch last year, for sure.
Well, that ain't so young. He just turned 23.
God.
There's that too.
And he's in his fourth season.
Jabari Smith Jr. off the bench.
Yeah, these guys are all coming into the league at 18 and 19. Yeah.
Gosh, they're so good. I don't know, because Golden State's defense is very, very good.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, man, if they're getting into these half-court battles, I'm not sure.
Yeah. Huh. It's going to be tough. Yesterday was ugly.
Yesterday was gross.
Here's a weird thing I never knew before. Kwame Brown and Jabari Smith Jr. are cousins. Huh.
Sure.
I didn't know that as well.
I'm just like, I
all time great NBA cousin duos.
How did you find that out?
It's on Basketball Reference. The all time greatest cousin duo is T Mac and Vince Carter.
No, of course, yeah. They found out they were cousins at a family reunion.
That's crazy.
Yeah, like
they like pulled up to a family reunion and were like,
"Wait, that's Tracy McGrady." Wait, that's
no,
Vince Carter.
I watched this the other day. Vince Carter was talking to his grandma, and she started telling him about her other grandson that was going to be. Gonna play in the league or was gonna be drafted or something, and it's like, who? And he said, well, Tracy McGrady. And like what, he's my cousin?
Can you imagine talking to grandma? She's like, yeah, Vince, you're really good, but you're my other grandson Tracy's a little bit better.
That's weird. How would you, yeah, it's just weird you didn't know.
I gotta find out how she ranks them.
I would love to know that as well.
Me too.
I think Vince is the best.
Vince had a better career.
Okay.
Tracy McGrady's one of those players.
Tracy could have been better.
Tracy McGrady is one of those players who was, his ascension was before I started following basketball like super close. So I just trust people who are big Tracy McGrady people and just know that he's one of those dudes who just, from a scoring perspective, there just aren't that many people who could put in the basket like he could.
Yeah, one of the most influential players for young players. Like Kevin Durant will tell you, he's a T-Mac guy.
Yeah.
There are a lot of guys that were T-Mac guys.
So many.
Yeah.
It's like a lot of guys now, Kyrie guys.
Yep.
A lot of young guys. Yeah. Love Kyrie Irving. Like, all right. Like, I get it. Kyrie's incredible. But what do you guys got coming up on D-Lo and Casey?
Playoffs. Talk a little bit of Kings. James Hamm will be there. He's going to have a lot of fun today.
Can't wait. That's James Hamm. Joe Brazil's behind the glass. I'm Kyle Madsen. D-Lo and Casey coming up next. Should be a fun one. Don't go anywhere. We're on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center. The Insider's back tomorrow at 10 a.m. on this very station. Until then, drink water. Be nice, people. Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.